Hello and welcome to the Frontier Strategy Group podcast series. FSG is the leading information services provider for emerging markets executives. We partner with business leaders at more than 200 multinationals by providing them with research, analytical tools, and data that help power their emerging market business strategies. Today we'll speak about opportunity in the CIS, and more specifically about the customs union between Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan, and its implications for multinationals operating in the region. My name is Martina Balzajeva, practice leader for CE at Frontier Strategy Group. Joining me for today's conversation from Moscow is Alexander Rogan, FSG Expert Advisor. Alexander Rogan is the CEO of Russia Supply Chain Business Consultancy in a series of publications. He also used to work as Managing Director at Priority Freight CIS, a logistics and supply chain company with offices in the EU, UK, and CIS. Mr. Rogan has 28 years of experience in global logistics and currently works in Russia, Kazakhstan, and the former Soviet Union. He has also served as Managing Director of AJR Logistics, which provides inbound-outbound logistics in Russia. He has wide-ranging expertise in managing distribution in Russia. As a reminder, FSG clients can speak with Alexander one-on-one by requesting a conversation through their account manager. Alex, thank you very much for joining us today. Now, the customs union between Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan has been around for about 3 years now. There are several countries that could potentially join it, such as Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, under discussion, but for the time being, it looks like the union will largely consist of Russia, Belarus, and Kazakhstan. Could you explain to our audience in practical terms what opportunities does the current structure of the customs union create for multinationals?
Yeah, sure. Good afternoon. In simple terms, this is a market from Brest in the west to Vladivostok in the east. A combined GDP in excess of $2 trillion, Russia's stable growth, declining inflation and record low employment rate all point to a very strong consumer purchasing. Russia's 100-odd million middle class are fuel for growth. This part of the population is going to grow 16% over the next 7 years, at which point it will represent 86% of the population and contribute €1 trillion in spending. That's up 40% from 2010. Russia will pull Belarus and Kazakhstan along as the dominant power of the three. The territory is the main conduit between China and Europe. It's seeing tremendous investment in infrastructure, which provides opportunities for foreign businesses. Transport, the construction of a 5,000-kilometer-long motorway from China through Kazakhstan. Railways are seeing huge investment. Communication is having a great spend. The three countries combined, creating the CU, become the dominant force in oil and gas, so there is more opportunity there. Grain exports are enormous, opportunities that have been grasped by companies like Case New Holland and John Deere, who export to the CU from Russia. Companies can now engage in Belarusia in ways that were not possible. I mean, Belarusia has been closed off from most of the world. So foreign companies are now able to benefit from its highly educated workforce. In automotive and aerospace, Solis, who are the Ford partner, are building a plant in Kazakhstan. They're said to be building an assembly plant in that's going to construct 50,000 Fiat, UAZ, and SsangYong motor cars. So there are many, many opportunities. The countries have agreed to stand behind each other in terms of a tariff schedule. So they have a common external tariff for third countries. So with few exceptions, the initial common external tariff that has been adopted is the Russian tariff schedule. Kazakhstan has negotiated some exceptions from this for slightly more than 400 tariff lines, but these are scheduled to phase out over the next period of the next few years, 5 years in total. In addition, the members have agreed to standardize the rules regarding sanitary and phytosanitary standards, so-called SPS, and standards on goods. There have been controls that have been put in place. Russia was particularly worried about transshipment of goods from China through Kazakhstan and from the European Union through Belarus. So Russia has negotiated and achieved an agreement with its partners on stricter controls on the origin of imports from the countries outside the customs union. What does this mean? It means that Kazakhstan is now buying more Russian products, as the non-Russian products have been priced out of the market by the new import tax regime. Russian manufacturers have been seen to make major gains. So if a multinational is going to benefit from the Eurasian economic market, Belarus, Kazakhstan and Russia, it needs to be manufacturing within the market and probably in Russia.
Very interesting. And actually, one of the topics that we're looking at for some of our clients is the question of manufacturing in Russia and whether or not to localize. And it seems like the customs union definitely makes the case for that kind of strategy. Now, one of the most common questions that our clients ask us is whether goods that they produce in Russia can be transported without duties and customs clearance to Belarus and Kazakhstan. You touched on this a little bit, but I think the real question there is, in practicality, is this how it works, or is this just on paper?
In practicality, yes, it can. Goods may be freely transported, but they may be excluded from government tenders. In the main, products manufactured in Russia can be transported without duty and customs clearance in Belarus and Kazakhstan. But members of the union did erect protectionist barriers, and they do seem somewhat reluctant to give the new supranational body authority and have allowed themselves exceptions to this rule. An excellent example is the pharmaceutical instance, in the pharmaceutical industry. So in each instance, I think each individual manufacturer needs to check their market first.
Mm-hmm. That's very good advice. Now, here's another practical scenario. A multinational imports products into Russia, say furniture, and then clears them in Russia. And then he wants to take some of the imported furniture and then transport it to Kazakhstan. Will they have to go through customs clearance again?
Well, Moscow insisted that free trade within the Union be limited to goods produced by its members only. It did this because it suspected that Belarus would resell goods from the European Union and Kazakhstan would resell goods from China. So limitations on trade on goods originating in third-party countries are in place. But it's not clear how the regulations will be enforced with no borders between the Union members. So at the moment, it's a case of looking at what you're doing on an individual basis, engaging with people locally and trying to ascertain on a case-by-case basis how you can move forward.
Do you know of any multinationals that have successfully been able to do this? Say, import from Germany and then be able to transfer those products freely across the Union?
I know in the automotive sector, it's working. Exactly that is working. I think this is probably a case because the automotive manufacturers are viewed as strategic partners of Russia. If goods are coming via Russia, there is and Russia is used as a manufacturing base and or a logistics springboard into the customs union, there is likely to be less problem than if Belarus or Kazakhstan is chosen.
Interesting. Does the customs union also include mutual recognition of government certificates or permits?
Yes. Yeah, for most products manufactured within the customs union. However, Kazakhstan and Belarus had free trade arrangements with Russia before the customs union. So the majority of government certifications, over 60%, were GOSTAR. That's the former Soviet Union standard. So these were adopted en masse by Russia. So in effect, Belarus and Kazakhstan have adopted the Russian standard.
A slightly different question. What is the quality of infrastructure to allow the transportation of products between these markets? Let's say you're producing near Moscow. Financially, does it actually make sense for you to then transport into Kazakhstan all the way to Almaty? Or is that a significant added cost?
I would say there is significant significant costs to be incurred there. Infrastructure is poor compared with the European Union or the United States. Having said that, it is the beneficiary of an enormous investment drive, and the Russians and the Kazakhs and the Chinese are working hard to turn this area into a land bridge between Asia and Europe, and Russia is very much in the driving seat on this.
Interesting. The full structure and legislation of the customs union doesn't seem to be complete quite yet. And as you said yourself, it's very much on a case-by-case basis. A lot of our clients seem to be waiting to see what the final product is going to look like before they make a decision whether to invest, keeping in mind the customs union opportunity or not. Is this an approach that you would recommend? Are there any key pieces of regulation or legislation that our clients should wait for before trying to take advantage of the customs union?
Well, first point regarding the structure and legislation of the customs union, it's very much not complete. That's absolutely correct. With regard to whether the your client should be looking to come here or to wait and see, I think the key point here is not whether they should be investing in the customs union per se. I think that's a given. Yeah, I would absolutely recommend that. I think the key point is where in the customs union they should invest. The common economic space has got 17 agreements, 55 drafts in progress. The agreements provide for the basis of free trade in services and the free movement of capital and labor. The agreement will coordinate tax, monitoring, customs policies, and it will establish a common competition policy for the three countries. WTO and EU relations have an impact. Both Kazakhstan and Belarus are looking to join the World Trade Organization. That is also going to have an impact. So my point is that given the leadership within the customs union and the vertical power structure, clients can wait forever until they can see stable legislation. There is always something happening here, and usually something surprising. Russia is the lead in the union. It's the biggest market. It's the most important part of the union in monetary terms. If the client wants a piece of the market, then I think he needs to be here. He needs to employ the right people, buy an experience, and then start trading and benefiting from making sales in this very big market, and to do it now.
So the customs union really is an extension of the Russia opportunity. On a practical level, given that you deal with this on a regular basis, are there still any issues with trucks passing the border from one customs union country to the other? Let's say it's a product made in Russia going into Kazakhstan. Will they still have any problems getting it through?
In answer to that, both yes and no, which is, I'm sorry, it's quite difficult. In theory, the borders are open, but there's still mistrust on all levels, and you'll find that in practice, border checks are still commonplace. The border controls between Kazakhstan and Russia have been dismantled. Belarus is a totally different situation. Minsk has been complaining to Moscow recently that the Smolensk crossing, and that's between Belarus and Russia, is still being operated by federal border guards. And the federal border guards are part of the FSB-KGB structure. And they're complaining that Russian Federal Customs Service officers are still stopping and checking. Now, this has probably as much to do with Moscow's relationship with Minsk as it does protecting a border from a customs perspective. And that's something that anybody investing in Russia or conversely Belarus or Kazakhstan has got to take on board, that whatever those countries are doing, whatever the relationship, say, between Almaty and Moscow or Minsk and Moscow is, will have a direct effect on business that they do in the area. The difficulties of customs clearance, trucks being stopped coming from Belarus into Russia, a method of putting pressure on Belarus. And we've seen that over the last 5 years. If Russia wants to put the squeeze on one of its neighbors, then it will close the border or it will make it difficult for the border to be crossed.
Are there any other common problems that logistics companies might face when trying to take advantage of the customs union today?
Problems you've got, there's security of freight on long distance runs. Theft is a very big problem. Security within organizations is business critical, as entire truckloads can be disappeared. Hence the preference for rail freight over the big distances traveled. There is a lack of choice because of the monopoly on the railways. There's a lack of capacity on rail and air. And changes in policies at a government level can cause a change in direction in a client's modus operandi. So these are challenges that your clients will face.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any final advice for our clients who are looking to maybe take advantage of the customs union?
Yes. Russia is genuinely unique. It's definitely not European and it's not Asian. It very much sits in the middle. A wise man once told me to leave everything I'd learned before at the Russian frontier and accept that I had to start from the beginning again. I don't think that's too far wrong. Companies who try and stamp their operation on the Russian market generally fail. Federal Express came to Russia, super business everywhere, but now they use an agent. Ford opened the first plant in Russia in 1992. Now they have a joint venture. Why? Because they learned that they can learn from Russia and make money. It took a while. Come to Russia, Belarus, and the Kazakh markets and make money, but realize that it's not like doing business in the States or in Europe. Regardless of the customs union and the World Trade Organization, the Russian government does everything for the betterment and improvement of the Russian position. It wants to reposition itself as a technological powerhouse. It's looking to decrease its dependency on its oil and gas reserves. It's investing a huge amount of effort and has been very successful. Just look at the automotive sector. The Russian government have attracted billions and have established manufacturing plants right across Russia, from European Russia to the Russian Far East and Vladivostok, where they're now assembling Mazda, Mitsubishi, Toyota, Ssangyong. I mean, there's a whole industry that's been created at the bequest of the Russian government. So it will do what it can do to attract in with investment. It has established special economic zones across the country. These are designed to attract an inflow of manufacturing expertise. So if manufacturers want to come to Russia, they will be welcomed. And if the manufacturers come in the right way and are deemed to be of importance to Russia, they will get the massive support of the Russian government, which in turn will help them when they come to export out of Russia into the customs union.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time, Alex, and for a very interesting and practical discussion. As a reminder, FSG clients can request individual conversations with Alex on this issue, as well as any Russia-related issues, by contacting their account manager. This concludes our podcast. Until next time, we wish you great outperformance in your emerging markets.